to our beautiful deep community, I want to assure you the deeper is going nowhere. And the same incredible content will be released every week, but now through Arise. It is going to be less trauma heavy and more inspirational, uplifting, but it will still challenge and push you to grow. For all your deeper episodes, they are still available every fortnight. You can still get your deep hit with the deeper subscription.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
She was on forums trying to scream for help, and she kept saying to me, everyone's saying leave, but I don't want to. At the time, I was like, piss off. Like, you're getting in the way of my gambling virtually.
Welcome to The Deep. I'm Zoe Marshall. In my early 20s, a lot of traumatic things happened, and ever since then, I have had this fascination with people and their stories. This is The Deep. I acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which I work and live, and recognise their continuing connection to land, water, and community. I pay respect to elders past, present, and emerging. Today we speak to a gambling addict. Elliot was introduced to sports betting at an impressionable young age and became a full-blown addict for 10 years. As someone who doesn't fully understand the pull of gambling, I really wanted to know where the high comes from and what makes them keep coming back. Elliot was really candid with me and shared things he's never spoken about before. If you or someone you know struggles with gambling addiction, we will include resources in the show notes. Elliot, welcome to The Deep.
Thank you.
You found your way here through an interesting avenue. Your partner actually reached out to us to tell her story, which you're attached to. And I said, would Elliot speak to us as well? And she said, I don't think so. And then here you are. How did that happen?
So, yeah, she just got in contact, and I'm just on this road to recovery, I guess, and just telling my story. And she was a bit, she did a workshop with you, and yeah, and she was just really like where I am in my recovery path. She was very mindful of it, and it was a pretty loose comment at the time, like, oh, would you do this podcast? Would you do a recovery podcast? Or would you think about talking about it on a podcast? And I was just like, yeah, whatever, like just pretty loosely. And then like, it's never going to happen. And then it happened and she's like, go back to me. I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess here we are. So I said yes, and yeah, so here we are now.
What is your addiction?
Gambling, yep.
And you are a young fellow. How long has this been an addiction?
So I'm 29 now, and I would say bad addiction probably 10 years, probably 11 years. Yeah, 11 years.
Since it was legal to bet.
Yeah, well, I had the urges when my dad would take me to the, you know, tab every Saturday after work. So I worked in a butcher shop and I got paid cash. So beauty, you know, gambling. So he would put bets on for me, and then got noting like, the TAB venue was like, whatever, he's didn't ask for my ID, so I'd put it on. And yeah, I did have it only started with a dollar and two, and then it started with me going, oh, 20, and that's a big bet when you only get paid $80. So,
and how old were you?
16, maybe younger, 15.
And this is at the TAB. Is it the TAB, the TAB?
Yeah.
What do I say? TAB.
Yeah.
That was the method of choice to start.
Yes, that was definitely the choice.
Did you feel a certain way from the beginning?
Yeah, well, there was now, like, doing all the work, like, I do counseling once a week, like, religiously. Doing the work, it's like, no wonder. Like, it's like, duh. Like, my grandfather was a gambling addict, like, great-grandfather gambling addict. So, and my dad taught me the right way, how to gamble, like $1, $2, how to gamble, like have fun with it. But then, yeah, I just felt what the moment was, and I've gone back when I was working Thursday nights, stacking shelves, and it was at the, you know, at the shopping mall. And in my lunch break, I'd go sit in the tab, and I was 17. And that's when you sort of like, now looking back at the time, I'm like, I'm enjoying it. This place I enjoy, it's my bubble. Now looking back, I'm like, it was pretty shocking.
In 11 years, how much money do you think you've spent?
Pull a number out of a hat and times it by a million. Honestly, it would be
like hundreds of thousands.
Easy. Easy. And some. Yeah. And that's shocking to you, and I get that. But if someone said that to me, I'd be like, yeah, I'd probably do that. And that's the thing I'm working on now. It's like, how much was it? How much was the number that you wanted to get to?
Oh, you don't have it.
Don't know. So if you gave me $1 million, I'd be like, it's not enough. Like, I need to get, you know, I need to get 10 million. I need to get 20 million. There was no number I was happy with. Now looking back.
Okay.
Yeah, in that sense, shivers down my spine a bit, but yeah, yeah.
Me too, because it's an insatiable, that's the addiction, right? There's an insatiable number. So you don't know how much money, but you were working, stacking shelves at a butcher when you were young. I am wondering if, like, have you ever made $1 million a year? In your career?
No, not with my career. It'd probably be, 100, 120.
And would
like
you
now where I am,
have spent that?
Yeah, yeah. It'd be gone in half an hour sometimes, 20 minutes.
Did you win? Because there's got to be some kind of return, right? Like, you got to get some kind of hit.
Well, yeah. Like, it depends. There's so many different stages to the gambling cycle. Like, I guess a win for me in relation when I was at the butcher shop, if I won 20, like 50 bucks, that's my beer. That's my beer for the weekend and I'm happy. And
okay,
just the damage over time, and I'm like, all right. And then when I'm 21 or when I'm sort of doing my apprenticeship, doing my trade, like earning a bit more money, it's like, I need to make back the shit. I need to have a car. I should be, you know, all my mates are in this point, so I need to be winning back, say, 50,000 or 60,000 what I lost in the 4-year period of me gambling. And I was lucky that I was still at home, so I could, if I got paid on a Wednesday night, I'd be up till 11 o'clock till it came in, and waiting for it, checking it, and then it was in. It'd be straight on sports bet or betting at any company. That I could. So it just escalated. So as I got older, now I'm 28 and I'm 6 months or probably longer, 8 months. And I had little cycles of not doing it, but it was just always, I need to chase it. And so the last one was trying to chase. I had $100,000 in my account and it was gone. So.
Oh my God, it hurts me so much.
Yeah, that's reality. And that's, I don't look back on it now where I'm like, fuck, like, sorry, I shouldn't swear, but
no, you can swear all you like here.
Yeah. It's more, I'm just like, that's gone now. Like, that's, I'm not even thinking about it. That's it. It's in the past, and there's nothing I can do about it. Cause if I want to try and do something about it, like now and with my mind and today, it would be to gamble because that's not the answer.
Oh shit. That's the answer.
Well, if I'm like, I need 100 grand, I need to make that back, I'm not going to do it in a day's work. I'm not going to do it the only way in my brain is to, if I need 100 grand to get win back or try and get back that money I've lost, it's to gamble. And yeah, that's not it. That's not the answer.
What's the biggest amount you've won?
Far out. I haven't told many people this. I haven't told, probably told two people this. I haven't even told my missus. I keep it very, it was a very enclosed gambling. Like, it was very hidden, very, very private. And I'd probably say, in a sitting, and this was just last year, January last year,
160,000, 170,000. On what?
Flies on the wall. Like, honestly, anything. Baseball, cricket.
Golf, didn't matter.
Anything. Like, anything that moved.
But always the tab, not necessarily, or the apps.
I went to apps and just so I could bet like that, but that's where it started, the tabs. And then I self-excluded.
Sorry, what's self-excluded?
I would self-exclude. So you'd just self-exclude from the app. So Sportsbet, I'd be like, I'm done with Sportsbet. I'm closing my account. I'm excluded for 2 years. So I can't reopen an account for 2 years or bet with them for 2 years. But knowing the ads and shit, what we see nowadays, it's everywhere. So I can go to
another company.
And when you gambling mind, you find ways anyway.
It's such a fascinating thing. I get drug addiction, alcohol addiction, sex addiction, food addiction. Gambling is one that has never clicked for me to understand. I have never felt it'd be such a personal thing, you know. It feels like I know the odds are against me, so I don't want to play because I know that, you know, 9 out of 10 times I'm going to lose. And I remember back with, you know, I'm with a ex-football player and there's big pokey, you know, pub culture. And I remember being around them and them being at the pokies and like literally $50 went in like 20 seconds. I didn't know what I was doing. The money just went. And I was like, what happened? Like, that wasn't fun. There was like some dingle dingle noises. And I was just like, why are we all in this dark, seedy room that smells bad and everyone's like, durr, 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 durr. Like, I'll make the noises. Give me the 50. I'll do all of that for you. What part of it was like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, food you get because it tastes good. Is it a feeling?
Yeah. What triggers
did it? What was it initially where you were like, oh, I feel comfortable here. This feels like home. I want to be here. I want to win.
It's funny because it's like an alcohol person on, like, in my way, it's like an alcoholic saying, oh, I don't drink beer, but I'll drink vodka. That's what my gambling was like. It wasn't everything. It was like pokies. You telling that story about being in that, I look at them and go, what the hell are they? Why would you even do that? But then mine, I'm like, mate, I've got more chance of winning, or my addiction.
Oh,
but
tab is your choice. So not even casinos, blackjack.
Not casinos, nah. I don't even play them. I don't even look at them. I'm like, what?
So it's purely like sports betting.
And that's my triggering because I've played sport my whole life, pretty active, pretty, you know. Not bad at sport. Just an injury from, like, when I was 18, I lost a lot of that. I stopped playing and I lost my drive. I lost my, like, that eagerness and that feeling of winning, really. Like, there's this feeling of winning and being right. Like,
that's
everyone
it.
Nowadays, I told you so. Like, Tigers are going to beat Storm. I told you. And I put my money where my mouth was. And look at this. Like, and everyone's like that. And that was the trigger, like, yeah, I'm right. And the feeling, like, I'm getting it now talking of it. Like,
oh, no.
No, not like the urge. Like, I can feel the feel. I've got no urge. I'm so far away from my next bet, million miles away.
Okay.
But I just get the feeling of, you know, And that's what it is. It's just this winning feeling that you, yeah, everyone has.
Can I ask you a question? Because you have a partner.
Yeah.
You said you've been sober or working the steps or whatever you're doing for eight months.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's baby recovery, right? Like your early days.
Yeah.
What was your rock bottom?
No one to call. Like, but you say no one to call, but you've caused that. And that's the heart. You're sober causing all this. You tell your parents to get fucked. You tell your partner to get fucked. Tell your mates to piss off. You're a dickhead. All these things. And so you cause it.
They're bringing it up.
They're bringing it up. They're caring for you. Like, you're like, hey, mate, can I borrow $150, $200 to get it back to you? And they're like, mate, what's going on? Like, and then your partner's like, why haven't you paid rent? You usually get paid on a Wednesday. And you're going,
oh.
I've gambled it. But and you're like, I'll get paid tomorrow. I'll get paid. Yeah, it's coming. It hasn't come in yet. Just lie. And you try and track your lies. What have I told? Who have I told? It's so many different webs of stories out there. And rock bottoms are not a nice place. And it's going to look different for everyone else. So, you know, losing $100,000+ is pretty rock bottom.
Because I know of people that are addicts, gambling addicts, that ask people for money. The excuses come. They're all shapes and sizes, and then they come again and they come again. And each person, you know, ends up saying no, and then they go to other people and it's a no and a no and a no and a no and a no. Do you shut out those people that put a boundary up? Is it like, okay, they're not useful for me, fuck them?
Yeah, to a degree. Like, it, I don't know, my gambling mind would go very, I'll not suck up, but I'll start like planting seeds. Like, oh, hey, mate, how's your weekend? 3 days before,
yeah.
And then going, if this comes, I'm going to ask him for money. And it's not my, like I'm not that, I'm the opposite. I'm there for my mates. I'm like, if they call me, I'm bloody there. So it hurts me. That hurts me more that I'm not, the gambling's whatever, but me doing that to people, that's what really hurts, like deep down. Cause I'm like, I just use people. And I was so lucky that I had such good friends that would give me the money. And that's the shit thing, because they don't know what they didn't know my, like, but they're like, why are you asking? But yeah, so, and that's a hard thing for family as well. Like, I'd always go to mum and dad and go, mum, like, I'm in Sydney, like, I need help, like, I'm out of home, like, I need money. And they're like, I can't, but they're enabling it without them, like, they're just doing their mum and dad lovely thing. So.
Did they cut you off?
Yeah, cut me off.
How long did it take?
Years. Probably only cut me off a year ago. Okay. And I'd be asking for $400, $500 at a time. And, yeah, which is huge money. But I look at it like, that's nothing. That's $5. That's 5 cents. Like, now I'm like, that's a lot of money. But at the time I'm like, $500 is only going to get me one bet, you know? That's one bet. That's like someone putting 10 cents down. So
it's an expensive addiction, isn't it?
Yeah, so an alcoholic can't drink that much alcohol in a night, $500, but yeah.
Did your family call an intervention?
Nah, never had a real intervention because you know deep down in yourself that it's not right what you're doing. And that's the thing. You know what you're doing is not right. It's just the power over you. So they never real big interventions, but more like, what the fuck are you doing? Like when I stole their credit card and, you know, it's 10 grand gone.
You did.
Yeah. This is probably 10 years ago now. And
holy shit.
Yeah, and I was out with mates drinking, didn't go home, came home, had a big night, and then in the morning I woke up like nothing happened, and then I was on the couch crying. I was like, oh, shit. And just my mind didn't even think of that they would ever find, like, what? That coming out of your bank account, you're not an idiot. Like, So, and because my dad's not tech savvy or mum, so it's like they're not going to really, they get paper notes, they get paper things. So I abuse that. So they're like, until mum got a call from the bank going, what's going on here?
Oy, caramba. So tell me about the shame cycle, because, you know, you see mum and dad crying on the couch. You feel like a piece of shit.
Yeah.
You want to make it up to them. The only way you can make it up to them is to keep gambling, right?
Yeah.
So does it almost become an excuse? Because the shame that you sit in, fuck, I feel like a piece of shit. I feel awful. I hate myself. I got to fix it. Gambling mind comes in. You know what to do.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah? Is that the cycle?
Yeah.
Simple.
Yeah, and that's the cycle. It's simple and not simple because you give them lip service. You go, yeah, I'm going to do better. Like after this, I'm not doing it anymore because you obviously lost it. I'm not doing it anymore. I won't be doing like this at the time, just feeding them whatever they want to hear. And then deep down, you're like, I'm a fucking piece of shit. Like, and that's what makes you want to escape from everyone. You can't hold an adult conversation. You just want to escape and hide and just, I've got a safe spot, a lake, and I'll just piss off down there and not even talk to anyone. I'll shut off from the world and make it feel like that they've done something wrong to me. I'll just shut off. And they're trying to call me, contact me, and I'm like, you're the assholes. I'm not. And that's not like, I'm not like that, but just the gambling mind I look at it like two different minds.
And you lived with the gambling mind now for the past 13 years. So it would be really hard to kind of know who's talking sometimes, right? They'd feel like lots of tricks.
Yeah, 100%. But then I've just with my counsellor, like I've been doing it with the one Christina Williams in Sydney for, what, 3-4 years now? Probably longer. She's taught me to call them, just like they're just thoughts, like they're just clouds in the sky. It's how you want to grab that thought. There's so many clouds in the sky, you're gonna have a million thoughts a day, and if you grab that cloud of gambling or any what it is, you know it's what you put energy into. So it can just be a passing thought. I'm gonna get the thoughts, I'm human, I'm gonna be thinking of gambling. It's not thinking of it, but just, it's going, oh, you should put money on the Melbourne Cup. That was my toughest day in the whole 8 months recently. And that's what I got taught when I was about to lapse, like 2 weeks in, 3 weeks in of this time. I called a GA member and they got a few people in on a joint call and they go, you do realize the more you think about it, you're still thinking about gambling. And that helped me so much. Like me, I'm not going to gamble. I'm still thinking of gambling. So, and people were like, and that's what helped me so much. Like, what? Yeah, that makes sense. Like, I'm still triggering, still putting energy into that thought, into that. So, yeah, it's a lot of work.
It feels like a full-time job to manage the beast, you know?
But I don't want to scare people to say, like, the beast and all that. Like, because I don't want people to be scared, because if that's what I felt like when people like made it so
too big.
This is such a big thing. I'm like, holy shit, how am I meant to do it?
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I want to ask you a really hard question.
Yeah.
The $10,000 from the family members is hard. But what are the worst things you've done?
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah, steal. That's up there. Stealing from my parents. Theft. Like, thinking about hocking in my tools to, you know, buying a brand new laptop and then selling it the next day for gambling. Like, just so many things, getting loans out, you know, dodgy loans and parents having to pay for it. Just a lot. That's just the things off the top of my head. I would have to go deep into my thought because I blocked out so much of it.
When you say steal, have you like shoplifted steal or like car theft steal or like stolen?
Not to that, but yeah. Don't get me wrong. It crossed my mind a million times. So it's not like if people done that, like, you know, I thought about doing the exact same thing, just shoplift, steal.
Did you break into homes?
No, never did that. Didn't. That's not really like me. Like, I don't know. I'm not that kind of person, but gambling could take me to that point and have thought about that point. Like, you know, even just the thought of like your builder and there's hard tools on site and you're like, I could just, you know, steal these and hock it in. But I never got to that point. And with tools in my workplace, I kept that very, I don't know, yeah, there was just something about it. But, yeah, a lot, like, I've blocked a lot out with just what I've done because I don't want to know it's true.
Do you think your dad feels bad about taking you to the tab after work?
Yeah. 100%. He takes not ownership, but he owns. He's like, why did I ever? And he cries. He cries to me now. He's like, he used to be a hard man, very hard man. And now he cries to me like, I'm so sorry. And my mum's like, I wish I had a magic wand to fix you. I'm like, it's all good. It's not your fault. Like, it's now knowing what gambling is now. I'd never do it to my son. I'd never show him it. But with him, I feel sorry for him.
Do you think you would have found it anyway, though?
100%. Like, yeah. It was just such an early age I was exposed to it. And the period of time in my life, it probably wasn't helpful with, like, the injury of sport, couldn't do sport, earning good money. And it's like, well, you know, I know what can fill time.
How long have you been with your partner?
6-7 years, something like that. I might get that wrong. So,
so she has been through it being really bad.
Yeah.
Have you stolen from her?
Yeah. Yep. As small as $5 logged onto her laptop with her password on her bank account. $5 for a bet on a Sunday on NRL.
Oof.
That's $5. And that was early on for $5.
And at this point, have you maxed your credit cards? Have banks blacklisted you? Are you just not able to take money unless it's like a dodgy dealer or something?
Yeah, not now because obviously my rock bottom, I've had a lot of rock bottoms and a lot of low points, but I still have the strength to show up every day. And each time, like at 22, I'd maxed out 3 credit cards, like everything. Got a transfer from one, like, oh, we'll look after your credit rating. And then I'd max that out and they didn't transfer it. So I went through a payment plan to get all that back, which is about $45,000 out to pay back. So now I've sort of getting a credit rating where I am getting, I got a car loan and everything like that. So I have done all that, but that was early on.
Okay. Because I wonder that how you become trustworthy again to constitutions and businesses and things like that. So you have to say you like I don't own a credit card, but say you spend credit and you don't pay it back, can you go to jail for that?
Yeah.
So you did pay it back somehow.
That they've got these companies out here that consolidate all your debt and go, you've got X amount of debt out here.
$45,000. this is your payment plan.
Around that mark, so $80 a week.
With interest.
With interest.
And you did that. And you committed to your payment plan.
Yeah, paid it off. I was 21 then, or 20, so maybe younger when I went on that. And that was a rock bottom, calling them. I was like, I'm doing this, because my interest was just getting screwed. Banks are calling me, knocking on my door. But then again, now, 2 years ago, I got a car loan, which is all good, and I wasn't paying my car loan. So I was having people knock on my door. So it didn't teach me a lesson.
Like literally knock on your door?
Yeah.
Like do they come to your house?
Three times.
You just ignore emails and calls and letters. I ignore emails.
Just didn't want to believe it's true. Ignored phone calls. But now I'd answer a phone. Go, hey, mate, what's going on? Like, but there's no need for them to call me.
No, but I would be so – I'm a scaredy cat to authority. Like, I would be like, if I didn't answer an email, I would – so you're just in denial that they're going to put you in jail, or you're just like, I'll just hide in my house. They won't find me here.
Yeah, just hide. And it's like they've got your address. I'm like, they won't come at you. Like, what do you think? But it's like, no, they will. And you owe people money. Like, it never got to a bad loan shark or anything, but
yeah,
it was still owed dodgy loans, mates, a lot of money.
Did you ever get into like borrowing money from like bad people that were dangerous?
Nah, but I'd threaten it with the missus and the parents, like, and that's an excuse, another gambling mind thing. Like, I need to pay these people back. I need $3,000.
They're going to hurt us.
And that was just, I used, like, any excuse you could think of in the book has been, you know.
It's wild. It's like, because I've not really, this is very new to me. I speak to lots of, you know, drug addicts and sex addicts and things, but this is just so new to me. And of course it's the same thing in different wrapping, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. You come up with as many excuses, ideas, stories just to get your need met, and it's just never met. So your partner's been with you 6 or 7 years, a long time, been through a lot of the dark stuff.
Yeah.
Has she left you?
Threatened a lot. But never left, which is, which I don't know how. Such a strong woman, such a strong person. Like, if it was me, I'd be like, not saying, like, someone, if my mate was telling me about this, I'd be like, mate, or a chick, like, I'd be like, you got to go. Like, get out.
Is there a part of you that wants to set her free from this?
100%. And she was holding on hope for, like, the good times, like, what we had when I was gambling then. So it's just funny what was gambling when we met. So I don't know myself that without gambling to a degree. But, yes, so many times I was self-sabotaging. So I was like, but gambling was always the fourth. She would always come second to gambling no matter what it was. She would always be behind gambling. No matter how much I love her deep down and still love her, gambling will always come first. And that's the sad thing. And she always said it, I'm always second to gambling. And so I do have that. Where it's like, and it's a lot to work through as well. We're working through, like, there's a lot of shit that she's bringing in, like, from where I'm like, I'm forgetting the last 10 years, 12, 13 years, but she's still holding on to those memories, and that's the hard thing. And I can't knock her for that, like, as if you wouldn't, but I'm, where I'm like trying to gain strength from it, where,
she's still got some trauma around those episodes and needs to heal, but then you'd feel so shameful and that would bring up other things for you. And so you're learning how to navigate together.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, trying to work through it together. And we go to like a counselor, like my counselor, and just communicate in a neutral, so there's no like, you like, I'm right, you're wrong. It doesn't get to that point. It's just like, all right, this is how we're both feeling. Not all the time, but yeah.
How do you feel about the future? And, you know, addiction is almost, you know, like, it's kind of a lifelong situation.
Mm.
And you take one step at a time, and, you know, I know about all of that, but are you hopeful but also realistic about what recovery looks like?
Mm. Yeah, 100%. And that's what I say. My girlfriend tries to work forward and try to plan for things, and I go, I can't, like, being honest with you, I can't. I'm literally a day at a time. And that's what she's trying to work 6 months ahead, 12 months ahead, because that's what a normal couple does. At the end of the day, a normal couple, it's so normal for people to work weeks ahead, 3 weeks. Like, but for me, it's, I just need to worry about how am I getting through today. Not getting through, because I'm deep in my recovery now, but it's, yeah, I'm just, tomorrow could be the worst day I've ever had. So I just need to do what I can to do that. Yeah. So that's what I am mindful of. And she's wanting things. And it's like, well, we need to be realistic about it. So gambling will always still be first, I guess, now just speaking out loud, because it's the recovery. I need to be gamble-free, otherwise my life shit and our life shit together. So it's a sacrifice, I guess, she's making.
It's going to be interesting talking to her as well. I'm wondering, do the people get paid back the money that you've taken?
No, I'm not my parents. I've probably owe them. Couldn't imagine. And which is sad. But that's why now I'm like, when they pass on, I don't want a dime. I've bled enough out of the stone. I don't want anything from them. Because, yeah, I just don't want that. I've done enough. But, yeah, my mates, yes, because they've held myself accountable.
So everyone's a little bit different. There's some people you got to pay back and some people you got to pass. Have you paid back all your dues?
Yeah. Paid them all back. So,
Have you lost friends?
No, I'm pretty lucky with that. Real lucky. Like, I must be doing something right to have such good people around me, but that's a hard thing. I'm hurting so many good people around me. So I wouldn't say like lost friends, but I've nearly lost friends, just like, yeah, just with the lies and the not telling, yeah, I'll get you money, yeah, I'll pay you back, but never, just feeding bullshit to buy me time.
Do you feel like the dynamic has changed and maybe they don't trust you as much, or are you forthcoming with conversations like this, like, I'm in recovery, I have a problem, what is it like with your mates?
Yeah, never really spoken to them much about it. One or two I've really had a deep conversation with, but I don't know if they'd get it, and that's just probably me being arrogant. Like, having a conversation like this is probably all it needs and all it needs to take, both be vulnerable, but never really, yeah, had a deep conversation about it. Because they're from back home. They're in Noosa and Melbourne and all that, so I'm not with them every day. So probably, I haven't seen them since I've been in recovery.
Okay. Do you feel like your mental health throughout this experience has deteriorated, like, at points? Like, did you feel ever suicidal or?
Yeah, a million times over.
Really?
Like, yeah, being, yeah, on a balcony, ready.
Oh, wow.
Like, somewhere, and I'm not trying to, like, I'm not taking suicide but a lot of it was a cry for help. Some of, like, a lot of it was just, I need, like, a cry from the inside for help. I need help. But I can only help myself. I'm desperate. 2 a.m. sleep in my car, and that's the sad thing. And my mental health now is great because I take a lot of strength from what I went through, because not a lot of people would know the struggle and the self-struggle. It's not, I'm not pitying myself at all whatsoever. I caused it all. It wasn't anyone else. So, yeah, it was bad. And I still today, because just the saying, like, and it's shit to say, I've never really told anyone this, but I still get the thought and me saying out loud, I want to kill myself today. And I'm fine today. I'm happy. I'm content, I should say. But that was just from my mind for the past, I don't know how many years, just saying, don't want to be here. And I don't know if it's some subconscious thing, but yeah, it's a scary place to be. Very, very scary.
Oh my gosh. It's such a, I really appreciate your courage and your vulnerability. It's such a big conversation, especially, you know, I'm really coming at it with having like, I don't understand, you know, and I think that's the point, is like, the majority of people that aren't gambling addicts just don't get this, you know, and they don't, it's so hard. And that's the point of an addiction, you know, like it's nonsensical. There's no reasoning. Yeah. You can't say it happened because of this, or it's like some kind of almost chemical imbalance, right? It's something in the brain that's fired.
Yeah.
You said that your grandfather was an addict as well.
Yeah.
Your dad wasn't.
No. But he had trouble with alcohol when we were growing up, so he had some kind of
addiction.
Yeah.
Addiction. Is it confronting then to think this is my bloodline, you know, when I have a child?
Yeah.
How the fuck do I keep them? Yeah. How, you know, like, do you think that it is
genetic? Yeah, 100%.
Or do you think that it is, did something traumatic happen, you know?
Yeah, well, I've had this talk with my counselor, and I think it's genetic.
Okay.
And that's but I'm not blaming him or saying it's an excuse. But, yeah, because I can't really put, like, I can say my injury, but that's me just saying that's the time where I got bad. But I'm looking at it like, this is where I'm putting a stop to it. I'm going, nah, like, they let it go on. They did what they did, and they're past now, and there's, you know, it didn't work for them. Look where it ended up. Now I've got the picture in my head of my grandfather is, when he passed away, I walked up to his house and all the beer bottles on his veranda. And just from the stories mum told me, I'm like, life didn't work for him. Not saying he did it wrong, but so I'm trying to just say, like, I'm trying to put a stop to this, so I can, when I have a kid, I can hopefully show if I'm going to still be in recovery, what, you know, a life is without gambling, and what you don't need to be doing.
And do you want children?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Want a little grunt running around.
And being in recovery and having your partner support you, is she in like an Al-Anon or anything like that yet?
Yeah. I think she was on forums trying to scream for help, and she kept saying to me, everyone's saying leave, but I don't want to. I'm like,
oh, fuck.
Yeah. And at the time, now saying it, or like now, I'm like, holy shit. But at the time, I was like, piss off. Like, I don't, you know, you're getting in the way of my gambling virtually. Like, not, I meant it in that, like, if that makes sense, like, my gambling mind is so strong. I was like, you're in my face when I'm trying to gamble. I can't hide it. I can't, you know, I got to go in the room. I want to watch a race. Like, I had to do everything so secretly. So when she wasn't there, it's like, all right, free reign, you know?
What do you think it is then? I mean, maybe this is a question for her, but that keeps her there, you know?
Yeah.
Like, is love enough? It's a lot for a lot of people. It's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's incredible to have someone to support you, anchor you as much as she does, you know?
Yeah. 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 She keeps me anchored. Like, yeah, I just feel so sorry for her. Like, and I don't know, love, is it enough? And it's for every different person, they have value of love. She's been shown love in her household. It's so beautiful when you walk in there. They show love. They know how to show love. And that's what's so beautiful about going into her family, and so bad as well, going into her family, knowing the shit I've done to her, like their daughter. But I love them so much. I love their family so much. I love her so much. And that hurts as well. And, yeah, I probably didn't get the best showing of love, not saying anything. But, yeah, it's
different.
For my love, my picture of love, no, it wouldn't be enough. I would be right out there.
Do you find now pleasure in other things, or is it never as good?
No, I find pleasure in so many different things, and the energy I can give those different, like work, let alone just being present at work, not checking my phone for scores. I get up every day, go to the gym, like no matter what, like bags are packed the night before, and that's, I'm like a kid at Christmas every night. Like, I can't wait for the morning to go to the gym. And that sounds so stupid, but I'd be like kid at Christmas waiting for 3 o'clock in the morning when a tennis game starts when I was gambling.
Right.
And that's like taking that, you know, I'm up at 4 a.m, I'm doing push-ups, doing a routine every day. My routine's so strict, a bit loose at the same time, where I just have to do this workout, takes 7 minutes, has to happen at some time, not doesn't have to happen, but just things like that have just really given me strength of the recovery, and not finding excuses, just holding myself accountable every day of going, all right, this is what I have to do. It's 7 minutes in 24 hours. It's not much.
Does that mean or feel like your addiction is flipping to something else? Or do you need another addiction, and is that okay?
To a degree, yes. I'm a very addictive personality, but if I go without it, without, I guess, the gym, and that's what my counselor's saying, be very mindful of. If I don't go to the gym, I didn't go to the gym Thursday, Friday, Saturday this week because we went away. We're going to go away. But so I'm like, I'm not fast with that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not like hyper, like gym, but that's my little like kickstart to my day.
Is there anything you feel like we have missed from the point of view of a recovering addict?
I guess for like from my eyes, it would just be like, you just got to keep it so simple. All these things now where I am at, whatever, I don't like to keep count, and people are going to be different. People count their days, love counting their days. I'm, you know what, if I've got 400 days, where tomorrow might be the hardest day of my life. So what's 400 going to do for me today? Yes, it'll give me a little bit of strength, but, you know, it's no worse than my next day. So that's probably the only real thing. Just keep it very simple. And these things are built up over, like, just worked in my routine. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. It's just, yeah, it's just small things. Just go into your routine day to day. It's just starting is the hardest thing.
So, you know, when you've referred back to, like, there could be a really bad day. It could be the worst day ever, which sounds like a slip, right? And you gamble. Is there, or have you noticed within the past 11 years, triggers? Because it just sounded like everything was a trigger. But is there anything now that is like, okay, I'm hyper aware that if this thing happens, I need to go to a meeting or I need to do something?
Yeah, 1,000,000%. So, but you know, before you're so close to your, like you're planning your bet, you know when you're going to slip. So I knew, I'm lucky I go on a Monday to a counsellor and Tuesday's Melbourne Cup every year. So, and I sat down like, I need, because I've been gambling in Melbourne Cup for the last, since I was probably 13, younger. And that I knew that was going to be a trigger. And that was a tough day. And I love my sport. So throughout the, that's what my me and my brother talk about. So I had to cancel sport. I had to delete all the apps with my phone.
You can't even watch it?
I can watch it now. Now, okay. Look at, like rugby league. Like I was meant to go to State of Origin. And I was like, I can't go. I was like, good. It's not good for my recovery. I'm like, I need to stay away from all these things. I need to. So sport's my trigger, like American sport, rugby league, AFL, anything. So I just knew I just had to stay well away from them and even looking at them, checking scores. Yeah, and that helped a lot. And I said to my brother, I said to my family, I'm like, they like call me and go, did you see that? I'm like, mate, tell you the truth, I'm not, like I'm deep in recovery. I don't want to know about it.
Tell me. Who are you when no one's watching?
Good question. I don't know. I've never been asked that. I'd like to say pretty driven, like really, and positive, like in my own, like just really like happy kind of, like just joyful. I don't know if I don't know. It's hard to talk about yourself like that because it's such a positive outlook because, yeah, I don't know.
That is enough. I genuinely thank you so much. I know this was – you didn't know what you were coming into and you have been so gracious and generous and open and vulnerable. And I know it's the first time you would have said lots of those things out loud. So really grateful. Thank you so much. And I really know it's going to help a lot of people either on the receiving end or in current addiction. So I really appreciate your time.
Yeah. No, thank you. Thanks for this support network. So thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Deep. If it's left you with any burning questions for me or our guests, please hit us up by direct message on Instagram at What's the Deep.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, everybody. It is Zoe here. Change is coming to the deep. I want to welcome you to Arise. It's uplifting. It's quirky. It's curious. It's all about the mindset and self-discovery to be more helpful and of service. During 16 of the Deep, you'll hear some of these episodes, and I'd love to hear what you think of them over on our Instagram at What's the Deep.